friends, my name is Mike. Welcome to On The Mic. Today, adventurers, the Jonesies.
G'day, Mike.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Guys, you're crazy. Are you serious? Taking a kid that far across the desert, the middle of nowhere? How far was it? Like 100...
1800 Ks.
1800
Ks? Just 1800
Ks. Just a little walk.
Yeah.
Should
so
be right.
You went from the Docker River to Port Augusta, 1800 Ks with your baby. You walked.
Yeah, walked with our 15-month-old. It took us about 102 days, so it wasn't a quick walk, but it was a walk.
Another thing that you've done, you've gone Australia to New Zealand in a kayak.
Yep.
And you've skied Antarctica?
Yeah, from the coast of Antarctica to the South Pole.
I didn't know you could ski Antarctica. Is there chairlifts there? That sounds like a great tourism thing that Australia should be promoting.
Not so much. I mean, it's pretty expensive to get down there. The flights alone for us were $150,000, so not cheap.
How the hell did you two meet?
Well, it was actually a pretty lame thing, actually. Just a friend's 30th in Sydney. Really?
It wasn't lame. The party was
a great party. Don't get me wrong. It was the best night of my life.
Okay, so it wasn't like Mount Everest or something ridiculous.
No, it was normal. Just a normal Saturday night party.
Oh, okay, cool.
Lauren's actually not that adventurous in the sort of camping sort of sense.
She's dating you. Married to you. That's adventurous in itself.
I think I'm her biggest challenge. That's probably it.
It's harder than climbing Everest.
So is it a hard relationship to traverse when you're with an adventurer?
No, it's fun. I mean, I think that's the thing that attracted me most was that it's always different. I've worked a lot in corporate, but I've always been wanting to kind of break out of the rat race and figure out how I can do things differently. And meeting somebody that did things differently was awesome.
That's great. Cool. So how long have you been married for?
2014, September. So that's coming up to our fourth year now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so is this true that adventurous relationships are ones that fall apart the quickest?
Well,
like them adventurers who are married have a high divorce rate.
There's a pretty high divorce rate in adventure. There's the cohort of people that unfortunately die on their trips and stuff like that, which isn't great. But
is that by accident or on purpose?
What do you mean? They think they're faking
it? Push them off. Bitch.
I think generally they don't go together.
That's what drives it, is that.
Yeah. That's why they fall apart. I mean, one person's staying at home with the family, the kids. The other person's going out there and living their life. And just because you're on different paths, you grow apart as people.
Yeah.
So we've come up with a solution about how to not have that happen to us.
What's your solution?
Well, we go on trips together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it cures you. We're fighting too much, babe. Let's just go climb a mountain or something.
Let's just live out of a tent for 102 days and not have a shower. It's perfect.
Really?
It was tough. Yeah. I mean, that was bad.
You didn't find somewhere to hose yourself off occasionally?
We did occasionally.
Or was that part of the deal? Let's see if we can go for as long as we can without having a shower.
I did not shampoo my hair for four and a half months.
Don't they just grow into dreadlocks?
No, you brush it, but it was fine. It actually, they say like after a month, it kind of gets its own oils and it's fine. I wouldn't say it's perfect. I went back to shampooing my hair after, but...
It was pretty wild. Like, she had this big mane of hair. I loved it. I thought it was great. The less you have to do, the better.
How did you decide to walk 1,800 kilometers across Australia with a baby in tow? Where did that idea come about?
So,
we were drunk.
Are you serious?
We were.
Well, it was on a date night, wasn't it, that we actually really talked about it? And Lauren was like, well, how about we actually do this trip as a family? So I suppose the genesis of the whole thing is I've done a couple of trips before I met Lauren, paddled a kayak across the Tasman Sea from Australia to New Zealand, the Antarctic trip, and then I was planning an Australia trip.
Yeah.
But I lost a lot of psych for it when we got married because I didn't want to miss out on that adventure.
Yeah.
We started a family, had a kid.
You don't want to let this beautiful girl slip through your fingers.
Exactly. I mean, like, yeah. So I kind of put all these things on all these ideas on the back burner. I thought, I'm going to have to live a pretty traditional life.
Mm.
And Lauren turned around to me and said, well, why don't we go as a family? And I was like, I married the right chick.
Yes.
And I think I've always wondered, like, people do things in their 20s or wait till they're retired. And like, just the thought of waiting through your 30s and 40s for something else to happen always seemed just
It's funny. A lot of people say, they go to school, they leave school, they have a gap year. That's the year to travel. The rest of the time, they've got to knuckle down with their career and then they get married and then you can't have an adventure. But you guys are proving that you can have adventures. Mm. And what was it like trekking across Australia with a kid in tow? Was it tough or was it something that you found fun? Something that you'd do again?
Look, it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, to be completely honest. And I think the reason why, I mean, physically, don't get me wrong, Antarctica, that was a horrendous trip. I lost 30 kilos on the course of that trip. The Tasman, logistically, was an extremely difficult trip to plan. This one here, emotionally, the highs and lows were massive, because when you have your wife, your daughter in an environment like that, there's high stakes. And you can't exactly, treat your wife like your regular expedition buddy where you have an argument. You've really got to watch your words and sort of, it is a bit different. But at the same token, it is just the most gratifying thing I've ever done in my life to see, in particular, our daughter learn to walk in the outback.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Like,
so awesome. Morgan, your daughter, when she was 15 months old,
you've
got your relatively new wife with you.
Who's never done anything like this.
Were there times where you found yourself looking after them more than yourself?
I think we probably both found ourselves in that situation, because the number one priority was making sure Morgan was okay. And I think we actually learned halfway through the trip that we actually had to watch each other and not just treat each other like ships passing in the night, and handing off to Morgan, here you go, and not make any time for each other. So halfway through the trip, we made a conscious effort to start giving each other a little bit more loving and time, because she's a wife primarily before she is an adventure buddy, and I'm a husband before I am, her expedition partner. So
The rules have been set.
Yeah.
Darling, if we're going, rule number one.
We should have
bring deodorant.
Well, I didn't say that bad, did I? Jeez.
Were there any other rules?
I don't know. Were there actually set rules?
Let's try and do that.
Let's aim to survive.
So you were just camping.
Camping, yeah. So I was pulling Morgan. I had basically, the bike carriers that you see behind bikes when people are cycling around and they have kids in the back?
We'll show that on screen now. So this photo that we're showing is the bike that you guys made, or did you just buy this? Is it something you just go to Amazon?
It was a bike carrier from the US, actually, from Oregon, from Burley. And these guys sent us over this bike carrier, and we're able to actually pimp it up, put it on roids, put these massive wheels on it, and that was what sort of became Morgan's home actually out there.
And I actually had a harness that was the same Justin used in Antarctica. So there was these ice harnesses that you pull sleds behind you with.
And so Lauren had that set up with Morgan. She was probably dragging around 70 kilos worth of stuff.
So they're mostly food, I guess, was it?
Well, Lauren's one was
mostly Morgan and her
stuff, and then some water. Me, I was pulling 270 kilos. So that was, on the largest leg, was 160 kilos, 160 liters of water alone.
So what was that, batteries, hair dryer, makeup?
All that stuff.
And he had to pull it. were there things that you had to have on the road that basically you thought you didn't have to have? Were you like, why are we taking this? We do not need your nose hair plucker and your weight kit.
I'm actually a bit of a weight Nazi. It's funny. I'm a weight Nazi with some things and then other things.
Weight Nazi. That's what you call someone, obviously, is bringing too much stuff.
Oh, you cut off labels off garments because, there's 20 grams.
Are you serious?
Do that kind of stuff.
That's a joke. Yeah. You cut labels off things because you thought it would make stuff lighter.
It actually does. If you look over all your gear, it does.
You were drilling holes in toothbrushes at one stage.
Okay, that was. I didn't do that on this trip in Antarctica. I drilled some holes in my toothbrush, and the toothbrush snapped out there.
A holy toothbrush.
Yeah, I.
Cut the ass out of your undies. What else did you do?
On that one, what else did I do? We had this shovel down there, down in Antarctica, and we drilled holes in the shovel to make it lighter.
Yeah.
And then just realized that, made it a hell of a lot weaker. We only saved, it was a really lightweight shovel anyway, so saved 30 grams. I'm like, that wasn't worth it. But yeah, you look for every sort of little corner you can cut.
Justin is a Nazi, which is annoying when you're...
Weight Nazi. I'm a weight Nazi.
Weight Nazi, not a Nazi.
I'm a weight Nazi.
You gotta be careful.
But then the same thing, camera equipment, I'm happy to take tons, and that kind of stuff. So
what did you take? A couple of GoPros?
A GoPro, a AX100, so a big sort of 4K Sony camera, A6300, a whole bunch of lenses, Mavic drone as well. Crashed
you took
it.
A camera store.
Oh, basically.
How long did it take you to walk 1,800 kilometers?
102 days.
Wow. Yeah. That's a long time.
We weren't the fastest. Picked up speed at the end.
But Lauren, you taught me a valuable lesson. Well, the journey did. It's not about how fast you do it. It's about the experiences you accumulate along the way.
That's so true. Isn't it? Should people adventure more like you guys?
Well, you mean as a family?
Yeah.
For sure.
I think kids are capable of so much more than we give them credit for. I mean, they're tough things. Like our daughter, she, once she got used to it, she was in a better place than us on this trip. And when we got back to Sydney and we suffered from, like, I don't know what you call it, post-expedition depression.
Really? What is that?
It's like social media, technology, noise. We live in Bondi, so everything was just too much.
Yeah, right.
Morgan, day, she's back into it.
Straight back into it. Yeah. Yep, no problem.
They don't know what's normal and what's not. Like, everything is kind of an adventure to them. So, you know, she didn't know that, like, going on a bus or a train would be crazy for a one-year-old. So it's no different than living in a tent. You just adjust to it.
How was Morgan on the road? Was she a delight to deal with? Or were there tantrums on the way? Did she try and eat roadkill?
Actually, as a percentage, what would you say, delight versus terror? What's the ratio?
I think the first couple of weeks were the toughest because everyone was adjusting.
Yeah.
And she was adjusting, so her schedule was off. And I think the hardest thing was that when a kid's schedule off, they don't sleep as well. Mm. And so when you're pushing yourself and walking 30 Ks a day, if you're not getting sleep, that's a nightmare. So I think we got kind of through that stage, which was good. We started picking up, feeling good. And then all of a sudden, boom, the next thing gets thrown at you. And then she started teething. So she had four molars come through. And so there was screaming through the night, which doesn't seem like a big deal. But when you're exhausted, that was the one time we almost pulled out because we just were not sleeping.
Like if that didn't get better, like the trip wouldn't have been possible. Like seriously, screaming all night, like, and we were at our wit's end.
You were really tired too from walking all day.
Yeah, exactly. So you want that time. You need that time.
And in normal adventures where like a single person goes out on adventure, they have control over at least their downtime.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. Like people said, oh, was the walk hard? I'd never done a walk like that. I was like, honestly, the walking part was the easy part. It was the constant.
The kid on the way.
The constant juggle. Yeah. I mean, he had the heavier load, but arguably I had probably the higher maintenance load. You know, when she wanted to stop, I had to unharness and get her a cookie. But it was interesting because a big lesson was that in today's world, everything's instant gratification, right? They're hungry. We'll pop it in the microwave. There's a pouch of yogurt. There's, you know, sure, we can get it for you right away. Out there, we couldn't. If she needed something, we had to go and get firewood and put it on a fire and start cooking. There was nothing instant. If something was eaten that was a ration, it was gone.
Yeah.
Did it make her easy going now?
It does. But the first stage, I think that's what, it's just that adjustment period. Once you get over that, it's relatively smooth sailing. Like, yes, it was annoying when she needed something now and we couldn't give it to her and she had to learn. And I remember saying, practice your waiting. And there was one day that I just lost my head and I just had to get, because she just, it was constant and I couldn't do it. So that's why you see where parents cave in, because it's available and you want this to stop, so you do it. But then they learn that everything comes quick.
Yeah.
Now she's actually, she entertained herself for a couple hours each day in her seat, alone, happily. She could entertain herself for hours outside. Wow. And she's just super, I don't know. When we got back, we had an assessment by her pediatrician just to kind of
make sure she's okay.
Make sure she's okay, see if there is any changes. Like, this is our only kid, so we can't compare it to anything. He goes, you know, in a kid that's only a year and a half, I've never, it's very rare to see a kid so kind of
comfortable
in her own skin.
Wow. So she sort of had a self-discovery trip on the way, because there was nothing else other than her two parents and the scenery.
I mean, people, the one criticism that we get from people is that, oh, she's not going to remember it. It's like,
what a waste, which is an interesting thing.
She might not, but 80% of your neural pathways are laid down before you two. So her response...
Really? Did you think about that before you went?
Well, we thought it would have an impact on it. The reason why we wanted to do this trip is to raise a curious, strong, connected girl, you know? Like, a kind girl. And, like, you should see her now. Like, she's a really inquisitive kid. Yeah. And, like, we'll be in the playground down at Bondi, and she's that kid that's playing in the bushes, like playing with the trees and the twigs and sticks and stuff like that.
So she doesn't have to have interaction with other kids. She doesn't have to have an iPad.
No.
She doesn't have to have all the mod cons that every other kid has out there.
And it's not
we didn't bring
can't...
an iPad on the trip.
No, we didn't.
We probably would have killed for it at certain points.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. But I mean, yeah, we didn't bring a lot of technology. And I think that was an interesting thing. So we looked at this adventure. I mean, a lot of, I think, the traditional world adventure that I had perceived adventure was very much, I don't know, it's pretty masculine. It's pretty fastest, best.
Yeah.
You know, watch out. I'm going to, I don't know. It's me first type of thing. Not always, but
it's
you know,
number one.
It's about reaching that peak first or pushing, you know, your own boundaries or just whatever. And I think, so it didn't fully resonate with me, but when we kind of put the idea of a quest onto this expedition, like how do we prove to ourselves that we can do this? Like, I don't know, parenthood is tough and how do, and we, there was times when we're like, oh, we're just getting, you know, we're just going to go into that traditional bubble of doing everything by the book. And just that felt really boring and mind numbing. And we were like, we don't want to go that way. We want to do it on our own terms. So proving to ourselves that we could do it on our own terms was the adventure. Yeah. And I think that to me, it was all about the experience and going, you know, slow and reconnecting and also disconnecting from technology. There's few places in the world that are, you know,
it's good to disconnect occasionally. I've just started sleeping with the mobile phone outside the bedroom and I sleep so much better and it's not the first thing I do in the morning when I wake up.
It is so good.
Which I used to do all the time.
And that was one of the things that we brought back, little lessons that you're like, wow, after 3 months we got addicted. Mm. I love not checking my phone first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I did that all the time before and I couldn't do that out there. And so now I got an old, old clock radio. Because I'd pick up my phone to check the time and then it would be over. And I wasn't taking back my mornings versus there. We were getting up. We were doing a bit of yoga. We were making a fire. We were having coffee. We were talking. It just...
What'd you eat?
It felt so much better.
So we had a lot of... One thing we wanted to do with this journey is we wanted to try to do zero waste or as close as possible. Mm. So we're having to get our food kind of in bulk. We got some companies on board that actually do some like freeze drying of like proper meat and proper veggies actually out there a bit in bulk. We could take along and we create these meals. Like we had a pretty good diet down there.
Were there a lot of towns along the way we stop and go to McDonald's or whatever? There's nothing.
Five towns?
Yeah.
And what was in those towns? Anything? Many people?
Generally a pub.
That's all right. So did you get drunk along the way?
I don't know, like three drinks got me drunk, so yeah, probably.
What about you?
Yeah, when they're
a few wines?
Yeah. We were at William Creek and they had some great wines from the region and, you know, half a bottle later and we ended up having to stay an extra night
because we were lightweight. We woke up one morning, we're like, we can't do this today. This is just too much.
Did you love each other more or less after the trip?
More or less.
Did you love each other more or less?
God, my answer.
Did you know each other better after the trip?
Let's say this 3, 2, 1. We'll say the answer.
No.
3, 2, 1. More.
You would say more either way.
Yeah. No, we did. I mean, like, and also there's a huge appreciation for each other because honestly, I was so unbelievably blown out of the water that Lauren. Before she'd met me, she'd been camping, count on one hand, like less than 5 times.
Yeah.
Like proper camping. And to go out there and knock out 102 days on an expedition.
Wow. That's crazy. Insane. You were like me. Camping to me is like a 3-star Best Western. It was I don't go much lower than that.
that's roughing it. Yeah.
Wow. So have you got any adventures planned coming up?
We've got some ideas. We've got a pretty long bucket list now. And so some ideas and different things we can do with Morgan, our daughter.
Mm.
This guy actually passed us one day. Like it's these really remote tracks we're on. But this one day, this guy rode past us on a bike. And we're like, geez, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Why don't we think about that?
Yeah, why didn't you take bikes? Why didn't you take bikes?
Well, I don't know. Like,
you could have got a share bike from Bondi. They're everywhere.
True. I just wanted to do. We wanted to do a walking journey. I mean, walking is really cathartic, and it really there's something about it that's just really meditative, which I think is really powerful. Opens up sort of the way you think. Cycling, you do get to cover 120 km in a day.
A bit further, but
yeah, us were 20 to 30 was our maximum. So we've got some ideas around that, around sailing as well. But this year immediately, we're working on a documentary, a book, a new presentation. I do a lot of corporate speaking. That's what pays the bills.
Right.
So working on another presentation for the next year or so.
Excellent. And so do you both get involved in the presentation? You get up there and have a talk?
Yeah, it's definitely Justin's realm. It's new for me. I have done a bit, but from a corporate perspective. So to sharing personal stories is something really cool.
So you're the marketing promo team to get him out there and you're the guy that gets up and does the talking?
Yeah, I'll talk in front of him. I'll talk in front of some weird organizations. But
like what? Who have you been talking in front of?
Oh, we're just...
What's the weirdest conference you've
been? I'm not going to say it's the weirdest, but I mean, like, you walk into something called the ACCA. Sounds pretty official, doesn't it?
ACCA.
Yeah, ACCA. Yeah. It's the Australian Crematoriums and Cemeteries Association.
They got you to do a chat?
Yeah, do a chat.
So today, here's a guy that almost died with his wife and kid on the road.
That's a great segue.
At the Australian Crematorium Association. That's crazy.
It was insane. I mean, like, we walked into this room and there's like... You know, coffins and like tombstones and laser engravers for and it was insane. It's business.
They all need entertainment.
Well, exactly. If it's ever gonna be clear to live your life to the fullest, it'd be clear to those people who see death every day.
Yeah, 100%. They see death every day. So you kayaked from Australia to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? How long did that take and why?
That took 62 days. So
62 days? Just you by yourself?
Me and a mate from school. Okay,
yeah.
We worked on this project for 3.5 years and then after that, it sort of designed a kayak that was 9 meters long that we had this little cabin on the back of it so we could be completely alone. So no boat with us or anything like that. It was just us out there on the open ocean.
So would you just take it in turns paddling? Someone would sleep, someone paddle?
We had that idea initially, but we actually worked out it was more energy efficient to paddle together, sleep together. Because the kayak was pretty heavy. It weighed a ton, fully loaded. So 62 days out there, we had waves up to 10 meters tall. Like it was an insane trip. Sharks, you know, massive.
You see some big sharks?
I saw some decent ones.
Wow. Some decent whales?
Ones. Tons of whales. They're beautiful, yeah. And this was actually just around the time that GoPro was just coming out. Oh, so we didn't have the GoPros with us. You know?
Didn't have a drone you could just chuck up and shoot. That would have been so amazing.
We would have come back with if we had that.
Just do it again. Would you do it again?
I'd pick a different thing.
It's done.
I would go to Australia, New Zealand. I'd want to actually probably do an ocean row one day.
So
rowing makes a lot more sense in some regards because you're involving your legs and you can actually get a lot more of your body going, so you can go a bit faster.
You have to keep looking over your shoulder, check where you're going.
You are going backwards though. That's one thing.
And would you do it together?
Are you an upper body? I don't know if I'd row.
I think we'll
save our water trip for a sailing trip. We've got a sailing plan in the future, so we'll do that. And that's something that's easy to do with a family.
There's a lot of sailing bloggers out there. They're amazing, and all they're doing is just shooting their sailing adventures all over the world.
And just get people to pay for it.
Paid a truckload to do it.
But I mean, it resonates with us in terms of just living that alternative lifestyle that you don't have to, you know, work that 9 to 5. You don't have to live the rat race. And
we're so drilled
out.
In the way that we all think that we have to work 9 to 5. You know, even at school, you know, we're treated like factory workers. You know, you sit there, you shut up, we ring a bell, you have lunch, ring a bell, you come back. It's not training people to be creative and come up with new ways to make money. And in this day and age, getting out there and having an adventure can be a career.
Yeah, and it's huge. I mean, I think that's living in the States. I think it's even more so than in Australia. At least I've been in Australia 10 years, but in the States it was very much, you know, get the best degree, go to the best school, graduate and have the best, you know, job at a big firm. And if you do that, you'll be happy.
Because there's only so many lawyers that you can have. And there's an oversupply of lawyers, and that's why they're suing everyone at the drop of a hat over there.
Yeah.
They're not happy.
I mean, some people, that's their destiny, but people that were just told that that's their destiny, at some stage in your life, you wake up and go, holy shit, what am I doing? And I think that there was a stage for me that I hit that actually before I moved to Australia, and I was like, I want to do something that, you know, follows a purpose and makes you happy.
I think motherhood, like, I'm not trying to mansplain things here, but like motherhood.
Tell me about motherhood.
I'll tell you about motherhood.
Yeah. Tell me about motherhood.
It's so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the
birth experience like, Justin?
Well, it's like a watermelon. It's coming out.
You were supposed to catch and
Supposed to catch and I didn't.
Too many tears.
I was crying a bit too much. I was a bit emotional.
He cried more than I did.
You were there when your daughter was born?
Yeah, I did. And Lauren was like, oh, it's a boy. And so now that's its umbilical cord. She's like, she did.
Oh, so you didn't know when she was born?
No.
I didn't know.
Okay, wow.
But like, just
I couldn't watch that, man. That would freak me out.
Oh, it was intense. Like,
I didn't want to be on that
smoking the cigar.
You finished yet?
I couldn't have done it without you.
It's honestly a really
powerful. It was really cool to do it together. It was awesome.
So we hold hands. Come on, darling, push.
It was more like Lauren was screaming and I was holding a leg for her.
Holding a leg?
Yeah. I didn't think we were going to get into this.
Yeah, I was holding it out there. And was like,
don't push them together.
Yeah, he's just like, close it back up. It's like what do they say? It's like watching your favorite pub burn down.
Okay, going into a little bit more detail. I'm sure the pub still works.
The pub's fine.
That pub is amazing. I still love it.
It's a great pub.
That's all I want to hear about the pub.
Is your friends over in the States in particular, when they have a child, they have to go back to a job within 3 months.
Hmm.
You know, and so like it really shines a spotlight on, geez, you know, actually is it worth it?
Well, I think that the biggest thing that we found in parenting is that there's kind of this rise to the co-parent, you know, like to actually truly being the mom and the dad are both equal parents. And if both mom and dad take equal responsibility, both mom and dad can get on and do the shit that they really want to do in their life as well. Not that parenting isn't amazing. So, I mean, I think that we really view it as a true partnership. Mm. And that's why this expedition was a true partnership as well. Our choice was he goes off and does this thing, which I was supportive of. He can do that, but it would be, he would have missed out on her first words, walking, all of that. And I think when you have a kid, you realize, what are your priorities, but how do you want to live your life?
The coolest thing is that you speak to Morgan now and you're like, Morgan, what do you do when you see a snake? She's like, no touch, you know, like fire.
So she was learning along the way.
Yeah. And like stars, moon, you know, mountains, sky, like all her vocab was entirely sort of like outdoor based. And you're like, so Morgan, what does an emu say? And she's like, makes the sound like an emu does. It was epic to see.
Or even we put on a backpack that we used out there, and we hadn't put her in that backpack since the Outback. So that was, you know, we just got back in November. We just did it on the weekend.
Yeah.
And she goes, backpack, Outback, adventure. And she literally was like, do you want to go on an adventure? She's like, yeah. I was like, you can't tell me that hasn't affected her.
When she's old enough, she's just going to want to hit the road and get out there
and adventure. And you talk about building creativity was like stifled in the past. And now all the jobs that are kind of the future have that. I think there's an element of, you know, teaching your kids that it's okay to be creative and to take that risk and be resilient. And it's, if you're not doing it yourself, it's hard to teach them.
So what are they doing wrong in schools? How do we teach that to kids in schools today? Or is it something you have to learn when your kid's brain's being wired at age one?
I think school's a really good time to learn. I mean, like, I had a very traditional sort of like schooling career, I suppose, and I learned to beat the system and this, that, the other, and it was really
called wagging.
Yeah, just not showing.
That's an adventure in itself.
It was the outdoors that became my greatest teacher, and so I think exposure to the outdoors for kids, like, it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be an 1800K walk across the outback. It can be just going for a weekend walk or just a day walk with your mum and your dad, play time in the park, reacting. Like, kids need exposure to risk, need exposure to making decisions, because yes, they're going to get hurt along the way. Yes, things are going to happen, but that's how they become resilient, functional members of society. And we can't teach them right now in school the things they'll need to learn for a job 30 years in the future. They just need to learn how to be creative and resilient.
And how to think for themselves, not just learn the right answer.
More day trips.
Yeah.
I mean, and parents are going to take their kid out of the house and get them doing stuff. The amount of kids now that are on Ritalin, especially in the US, and all these drugs because they're hyperactive, it's like a dog. You want to take the dog for a walk because it's carrying on like an idiot and running around the house. Got to get kids out there to do stuff and get them thinking.
Yeah, I think it's being active is huge. And I mean, a lot of times kids spend time indoors and then they're connected to technology. And not that technology is bad, but I mean, I don't think there's enough evidence to prove that it's actually not detrimental. And I mean, I know Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, they didn't even give their kids iPads or technology till they're 14 independently. So if you're like, well, if those people aren't doing
they
know a lot of 14, like till they didn't have their own iPhone or they didn't have rules around when they could turn on and off their computers
can't just let them do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, so it's as a young parent, you start to question these things, you know, when is the right time to give that in, you know, put it in front of them. But I think getting them outdoors and exploring outside is probably it's never going to be a bad thing.
So skiing Antarctica.
Yep.
What the hell? Give me a little rundown on that adventure.
Okay, so me and the same mate from the kayak trip, we skied from the coast of Antarctica to the South Pole and back, completely unsupported, so no one was helping us out.
So it's like the cross-country skiing.
Cross-country skiing, exactly, yeah.
There's not really a lot of hills.
It's like one big hill all the way to the South Pole and one big hill all the way back down.
Really? Yeah, so you could sleep standing up on the way back.
No, well, it's like, I say hill, but it's, you can't tell.
Yeah.
You actually can't tell. It's that gentle. So like it's 1,135 Ks one way and you sort of gain about 2,800 meters in height elevation. So it's really gentle. There's some steep sections. First people to do that. That was a Guinness World Record.
Wow.
First people to do the kayak trip as well.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
It was a pretty full on trip though. Like
two Guinness World Records.
Yeah.
That's the best. You must be proud of that.
I am proud of that. And the funny thing is, Lauren just moved one of my Guinness World Records that was on the wall and she doesn't know where she put it.
Oh no. So
it's a framed thing on the wall.
Surely they can print another one and send it.
I don't know.
Away.
It's just quite funny. I was like, Lauren, where's that going? She's like, oh, I moved it. I had to put up something. And I'm like, well, where is it? And she was like, yeah, I don't know. Oops. Somewhere in the house.
Lauren, what have you done?
I know.
Maybe it's been stolen. You can just claim it.
It's probably, Lauren's jealous.
Yeah, I just hide those things.
So what about on a safety side when you're doing a big trek across Australia or you're kayaking from Australia, New Zealand, skiing Antarctica? like, what do you have to call the authorities to help you and come and rescue you?
Well, so the risk mitigation is actually, it's the biggest lesson I've learned from adventure is that 95% of the success of anything is actually in its preparation stage. Because when you're actually out there, it's too late to try and come up with a plan. So trying to make all your ground bets before you go out there. So communication and safety and rescue is a hugely important thing. So on the kayak trip, on the Antarctica, on the Tasman, on this last walk, satellite phone, primary communications. We also had tracking beacons.
Got to have a satellite phone.
Got to have a satellite phone. Tracking beacon pulses out at your position, where you are sort of on the Tasman. It was every 6 minutes. So every 6 minutes, rescue corps coordination centers in Australia and New Zealand would get a position of where we were. And that actually live fed back to our website. So when we were in the storms, mum was watching us go around in circles, which was bad for her sleep.
Oh no.
Yeah, poor thing. And also you've got EPIRBs as well, which are like personal locator beacons as well.
That's safe.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So does anyone ever try and talk you out of doing these crazy things?
Yeah. 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 My parents actually really don't like me sort of doing these kind of things. It's funny with this last expedition, I was like, when we came up with the idea and we talked about it, we're like, all right, we have to tell my mum and dad. And we're like, oh geez, you know,
how's that? Should we just not tell them? Just go.
We thought about it for a little while. It was like, no, we've got to do this.
You've been gone for a month. Where you been? Oh, skiing Antarctica.
It's down the shop.
It's actually surprising with this last trip. Mum was like, yeah, cool with it. She's like, oh, it's, if Lauren's going along, I know she's sensible, so it's fine. You know?
Why don't you do the next one as an extreme challenge by taking your parents?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine?
Oh God.
Can you? Oh,
all rowing. Four of them.
They could sit at the back of the rowboat and strike.
My parents are insane, so like it would be like that should be. Actually, we should do it.
Oh no!
We should film this. We should film this. This would be hilarious. Like, move over the Kardashians. This would just be crazy.
Why don't you just do something easy, like climb Mount Kilimanjaro with your parents or something and a kid?
The thing is, like, my mom would eat that up.
Yeah,
like
I've done that. It's not as hard as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
That's my only claim to fame, though. I haven't really done anything.
Do you didn't get altitude sickness or anything like that? Like some people, like,
do you know what? It's a ridiculous story. My friend was going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and 3 or 4 days before, he had 5 or 6 other buddies who were supposed to go, but they all pulled out, and he was doing it by himself. Got me drunk. And
the best adventures start from being drunk. He
talked me about it and how exciting it was going to be, and I threw in my credit card, and he actually got online and paid for my flights and booked some of the accommodation. And I woke up in the morning and he goes, we've got to go to Kathmandu and buy some clothes for you. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're coming with me. You checked your diary last night, said you don't have to do anything. Next thing you know, I'm on a plane flying to Moshi in Tanzania to climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Can I just say, that is probably the best way to actually get into an adventure. You actually make a commitment like
get
that.
Get drunk!
Well, look, get drunk.
That worked for us.
You speak to a buddy that you're thinking about doing the trip with, you just block off a date and you just do it. Just book it in.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as you've done that, you're like, oh shit, I've got to catch up and do all the things I need to get ready for it. Like, if you've got the time. But more people need to do that. You know, some people claim it's like, oh, I don't have the money for it. Put aside $10 a week. Seriously, you've got $500 by the end of the year to go off on an adventure.
Exactly. It's ways to save money.
Hmm.
Wow, that's full on. Guys, you have such an incredible life, and well done on being able to stick through thick and thin and do these incredible adventures and so many more. I can't wait to see the books.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see the tour.
There's a lot of things to do in this world where we can't wait for it. Can't exactly have a second kid and just take that kid to Jamboree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disneyland's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, it's just not quite right. Yeah.
Does Lauren have any things that she wants to do? Does she ever say, I want to go to Disneyland, or I want to go and climb Mount Kilimanjaro, or I want to skydive? Do you see that adventurous streak coming through? Not that Disneyland's that adventurous.
Yeah. I mean, I've skydived. Like, I've never classified myself as an adventurer, but I like to do, you know, I'll jump out of a plane. Hey, if I was drunk and my buddy asked me to go to Mount Kilimanjaro, I'd probably do it too. So I'm one for saying yes to experiences.
What about Morgan?
She'll say.
She's
in for it.
That's the biggest thing. Morgan, one thing normal is just what she's doing at the present time. So she will do whatever, and she's up for anything. She's a cool little
I think guy. It was just the barrier that we could do it with her.
Yeah.
Like, it was more of a personal, a mental barrier for us, not her. Yeah. But I think my big thing is I'd like to sail around the world. I just have to learn how to sail first.
Yeah, wow.
That's my own personal goal.
You'll have a lot of time to do it, so just get a boat and learn along the way.
That's what we're, the next 5 years is going to be learn how to sail, and we'll see what our route is, and we'll just. But that's always been something I've wanted to do since I was little. So
yeah, well, that my mum married a sailor, and they bought a boat together. Mum didn't know how to sail, and she's learning along the way, and they plan to sail around Australia, even talking about sailing to Thailand.
That's awesome.
Which is full on.
I think that having those big goals as a couple helps too. You know, and it's you're not just you're planning your life together.
Yeah, to plan trips together, I think, is really important rather than have two separate goals. Like, so you go on that journey of life together.
Even if it's just one here or there. Like, I think it's great to be independent as well and chase your own dreams. But I think that there's times when you can make it a big goal as a family and a bit of a quest, and it pulls you together. Although planning this one, I have to say, one of the hardest things was the planning phase and just getting to the starting line. Like, hardest thing. I thought, you know, when you asked, do we love each other more or less at the start of this trip, I was like, I think we might have made
you're a good planner.
Big mistake.
I am, but I mean, like, I know what to expect with these trips, and like, and for Lauren, it was a big slap in the face, and like, we got to the start line.
I thought the trip would be hard. I didn't think that the planning would be so hard. So the planning was like, I mean, that was a year, and especially 6 months on the lead up was just full on.
Yes, that's not something you can just go, yeah, I'm going to do it next week.
No, not for a big trip like this. But then when you get to the start, my headspace was, I know that the next, we thought 90 days, it was 102, but I know that the next 90 days was going to be hard, and I knew it was going to be physical, and I was ready for that. I wasn't ready to show up exhausted, but every adventure I've talked to is like, the journey is literally, it's all in the planning and getting out there, and then you just turn your brain off, and you just go. And that's where like, the presence comes in. That's where just the... I don't know. It's just a different experience that you're being out there. You're doing something every day. You're showing up in a way that you couldn't. I don't know. It was showing up in a way that I had never done in normal life. Let's just say that. And it was pretty amazing.
But now you've got the bug. You want to do it more.
It took 2 months, honestly. The first month I was like, are you having fun yet? Because
I don't know about this
shit. I don't know if this is fun. Like,
I know we had achieved something when we'd got back from the trip, and it had been a month and a half. And Lauren was like, you know what? I'm ready for another adventure.
It's so true, isn't it? Because like, I was brought up just to have holidays at Disneyland and, you know, go to Dreamworld on the Gold Coast and, you know, those traditional holiday places.
Still fun.
But then later on in life, when I was probably about 28, I went to the Kimberleys on a fishing trip.
Yeah.
And it was the worst fucking trip I've ever had in my life. The air conditioning broke on the boat. I was there with a whole stack of blokes that my accountant knew, and all they wanted to do was fucking fish all day. And then when I came back, I found myself like, I'd be having lunch with someone and I'd start talking about this shark that I saw, and then I'd be talking about this crocodile that followed me along the side of the water, and I thought I was going to die. And then when I jumped out of the boat to push it, because we got stuck in a sandbank and a hook from the fishing line got stuck in my leg, and I had to push it through and cut it with pliers on the other side and then pull it out, and then there was a big shark trying to swim out with the tide next to us. Hang on a minute, actually had fun.
That's pretty cool.
It was an adventure. I've got stories other than saying, I went on the Matterhorn. I went on the teacup that spun around like everyone else has done in Disneyland. You're creating your own adventure and your own stories. So my adventuring friends, I have a question for you. I am about to go on the adventure of a lifetime. I'm probably going to love it by the time I'm back. But I'm going from London to Mongolia in a 1 liter car, which is a really crappy car, like a Toyota Yaris. Something really bad, something really old, that'll 99% sure it will break down along the way. Doing it with two of my mates, and we're raising money for the Charlie Teo Foundation. Anything that I should do to prepare?
Oh, actually, it's interesting. With two other mates, you're going to have to work on, I reckon, your negotiation and your conflict resolution skills out there, because you're going to have some Barneys out there. So just work out the strategy beforehand. Scissor, paper, rock's a good one about who wins. Who's right?
Oh, paper, scissors, rock.
Yeah.
Well, so what we're doing is it's facebook.com/Mongol Rally Men.
Yep.
If you want to get on there and make donations to the Charlie Teo Foundation, if you make a donation, you can put a challenge in the glove box challenge. So every day we'll open the glove box and we'll pull out a challenge and we'll do paper, scissors, rock for who has to do it, like cook some roadkill and eat it, or go into a bar and ask someone for their underwear.
I'm going to be donating. I'm going to throw some things in there. That's awesome.
Oh, no. I'm telling the worst person. So yeah, paper, scissors, rock is probably the best way to negotiate.
Paper, scissors, rock is an awesome thing. Also, like with a trip like that, you probably don't want to plan too much, because it's those experiences you have along the way are just going to, what's going to bind the whole thing together. It's going to be epic. Like,
Yeah, just take some time to do the side thing. things. Like, don't just, if you're sticking on, I don't know if you have to reach a certain kilometers by day or whatever. We had that as a goal, but if you stick too much on that, you miss the little side things that otherwise could come up.
Don't have too much of a plan, because
no one's going to care if you're fourth or 25th, you know, but the stories you're going to have when you come back.
Experiences.
Can we come?
Yeah, why not?
Morgan, three-man team, here we go.
I know, do it. Take your parents.
Hey.
No.
Get him an old beat-up Volkswagen and tell him to follow you along the road.
That'd actually be pretty funny.
I'd love to go to Mongolia.
Come on, do it, guys. That'd be fun. We're just trying to figure out whether we go through the stands, the Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, or if we go up the top just through Russia. What do you reckon?
Flip a coin. I don't know. I suppose one thing you probably have to do with that kind of area is you have to look at some, like, just prior to the trip. I suppose some of the travel advice warnings in some of those areas. Because if there's a bit of trouble down south, then you probably want to stay north.
Absolutely.
Time of year? No, Russia would be actually pretty good, you know, summer. I don't know.
I think the biggest thing that I don't get discouraged on our first trial trip, we went camping in the Blue Mountains for a night. This was only a couple months. We had a practice trip. And this is only a couple months because it was so hard to get out of the house as new parents because she was little still. We finally got to the mountains to do a practice trip. And we left. We were supposed to leave the house at 8. We left the house at noon. We didn't get up there till 2. The sun was almost setting by the time we got out to the camp. Like, it was basically a total shit show. And I'm going, holy crap, we cannot even camp for one night and we're about to set off for 120.
How'd you get past that?
And Justin was going, this is amazing. All of these things that are going wrong are things that we can fix for the trip. I'd rather them happen now.
So positive.
And I was like, I like that. That was a big thing for me. It's not failure, it's information. Like, for me, I thought, well, if we can't even do this, how are we going to do that? And it's like, well, that's great that these things are happening because we can fix them. So, I mean, even if things happen between towns, that's okay, because then you can fix it
from
there.
From that, you just got to make sure that someone is the positive person. It always sees the glass half full and half empty.
It's always good if one person's positive, one person's down. Like, you can balance that off.
Yeah, we definitely swung.
I think actually on a serious note is on a trip like what you're doing is trust your gut. I mean, because the one thing that you can't necessarily control is the human element. Like, humans are very fickle. So if you get a sense and a vibe from a certain situation you're in, trust it. Like, it's your gut's telling you something for a reason.
Lauren, Justin, keeping up with the Joneses. Follow them on Instagram and their adventures. Can't wait to your next one.
And we'll send you some glove box. What did you call them? Glove box challenges. Yes.
Look out for the glove box challenge. That's me. Facebook.com/MongolRallyMen. Make a donation to the Charlie Tio Foundation and you can add something to the glove box challenge. Go easy on us, please. Thank you so much, guys.
Wicked. Thanks for having us.
So many great stories. Look forward to many, many more.
Nice to meet you.
Wicked.